Well, I must say, this is a new adventure for me. It's like I'm starting all over again. It's because that sculpture out there, I did it, but I got to give Jenny credit. Because she came over to my house, she called me up, and she talked to me about maybe doing something here for the fall, and in a way of like a piece of sculpture, doing some kind of sculpture of my work or so on. I guess my thought process, that's how I interpreted it. And I listened. I said, wow, she wants some sculpture. I said, this is new. So when she left, I thought about it, and I got to work. I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? And I started putting this together, put that together. So I got to give Jenny a lot of credit for inspiring me to go ahead and do something now. Maybe I'm entering a whole new area because I'm on to my next sculpture piece now. And then another one, you know what I mean? I kept saying musicians have to do something different other than just perform. I said, something's not happening, right? And then I used to watch some of the pop stars, you know, with all the lights going on and all the stuff. And I said, they really got something. And then musicians who are supposed to be so-called well-trained and educated, you know, they'd be putting down people. Well, you know, they're not really great musicians. They don't have great voices and all that. I said, well, how come they pack in baseball and football stadiums? And us hip jazz cats, and you know what I mean? You know, we're so hip to you be out of it. You go up there and it's about, listen to me, check me out. And it somehow was like the separation between the audience and the performance. And one time, you know, I told some classical musicians up in Bennington, we was riding back, and they got very upset with me when I said, you know what, I said, I think classical music would really go over if you had some visuals going on. What do you mean, visuals going on? I said, some lights and stuff and all that, you know, other kind of stuff like the movies. We don't do that stuff. You know, I said, wow, you know, it was just this thing. And then when I used to come on, when I was in better shape, you know, there was people be out in the audience, and some people would be like this. And some people would be smiling. Because I was famous for going out in the audience and I will pick you up and throw you on my shoulder. Right, William Parker? I'd throw you up on my shoulder and I'd be moving around, you'd be up on my shoulder, but that ain't happening because they're talking to me back here now. All that years, how you put on them big guys up there? Well, they started working on me because some compression techniques took place. And so, but you know, that was kind of the way I was brought up. You know, you just don't go and get on stage and distance yourself from the audience. It's like a whole participatory thing. And so when I went into jazz, so-called jazz, I was labeled as a free jazz guy, avant-garde jazz guy. And when I'm always telling the story. And in 1964, a critic said, well, Milford Graves, avant-garde drummer. You know what the first thing I did? I went and got the dictionary. What the hell is an avant-garde? What the hell does that mean? I'm totally out from, you know, the neighborhood. No, avant-garde, that didn't mean nothing to me. You say way out or funky, that's cool, but avant-garde. I said, so that's what I am? So when I used to get interviews, they said, well, what do you do? I'm an avant-garde musician. And I had no idea avant-garde. I was just playing, just doing what I do. But then, you know, I said, wow. I said, these descriptions they're giving us, I said, I don't think they fit in place. And there was a time when I had to ask myself a question, what am I doing? And then when I was playing with a lot of people in the 60s, and I took an interview, I think in 1966, in Downbeat magazine, and a lot of musicians got upset in the so-called free jazz because I made a statement, and it was a truthful statement. And I said, I thought 99.9% of the guys wasn't happening. And they said, who does he think he is? But I found out something. And when you would hear statements from people like Miles and a whole lot of guys, say, them guys in free jazz, they can't play. They don't know bebop. They don't know the tradition. And then I started finding out, I said, wow, you know, they were like kind of different because a lot of people just was playing drums. They was picking up horns. And they was just going for it. They had no idea what was going on. I don't put that down. But the problem I found that they were really like being affected by people saying that they couldn't do this and doing that. And so same time people playing free jazz, they're going back and practicing tunes and so on and all. I said, something's wrong here. Then I seen a lot of people change and go back. And they stopped playing so-called free jazz or avant-garde and all that. And they were saying I was way out. I said, way out? I'm not way out. I said, I do come from a certain kind of tradition. And basically, it was stuff that I picked up from my, I would say, not lessons in a sense, but my grandfather, my uncle, who was from South Carolina, and they was blues players, but they played drums from washboards to spoons, guitars and everything. And I remember what they was doing, but it didn't sound like the blues of Joe Williams. I don't want to put down Joe Williams, but it was totally different. I mean, you couldn't hardly understand what they were hearing. Oh, no boy, you know, not all of, I have the blues and it feels so good. You know, I said, that's the real stuff. Because that stuff was moving inside, you know, and I said, there's something else happening different here. Then between like the West African exposure, primarily from Ghana and Nigeria, that was for all the stuff from Guinea and Senegal stuff came and all this djembe stuff. I'm from the old school. And then with the Afro-Cuban stuff, I came into all stuff from the Afro-Cuban stuff, not the new salsa stuff they're doing. That stuff is totally different. The stuff today I feel is a little bit more commercialized. But as I started hearing people trying to explain this music, journalists trying to write about it, I said, I think they're missing the point, you know? You can't be on the outside trying to analyze something. You have to get inside of that thing you're trying to analyze, participate, and you better understand what the heck is going on. So then I further went back into the culture, and I remember people saying, well, the drum, the music comes from the heart. And I said, the heart, so what does that mean? So in 1975, I was in Barnes & Noble store. So I used to always go up to the medical and science section. And I seen this recording by Dr. Geckler on heart sounds. I said, that sounds like it could be interesting. I had no idea. I brought that record home and then I put it on and I said, wow. I immediately started calling up all my drum friends. I said, you know, man, we don't have to go back and like have these guys come over here because they're from Cuba, you know, or Africa. Telling us, well, you know, brother, in 1 year, I teach you this. Next year, I teach you that. Next year, I teach you that. And everybody following all these orders, but they all talking about, the drum come from here. And you ask somebody, well, what does the heart sound like? They couldn't even tell you. They'll play a rhythm. That rhythm come from the heart. Well, how do you know if you never listened to the heart? What does it sound like? So this started getting very interesting. So I bought that record home, and I started calling everybody up. I said, look, I said, all you have to get is a stethoscope now and listen to the heart. And I went and bought me an electronic stethoscope, and it wasn't made that good in the late 70s. I had me a reel-to-reel. You could not come in my house and get out without me saying, let's go, I want to record your heart. I got all these old reel-to-reels, and musicians used to come over, and we'd put on the recordings, and we'd listen to them, and we'd say, what note is that, man? What frequency is that? And everybody's scuffling trying to figure this out. We had no technology but this, which wasn't bad, you know, the biological ear. And then, because I was trained as a medical lab technician when times was bad in the late 60s and early 70s, I did work for a veterinarian on 12th Street, and I was doing all the laboratory work. So I was familiar with, when I was going to school, you know, how to do electrocardiograms and so on, so on, so on, so on. I said, I'm going to get back into my old bag. I'm going to get me an electrocardiogram machine. So I called up this company, and I'm going to get this old analog EKG with the big arm moving across like this here. I'm looking for one of them things. And the guy said to me, oh, no, you don't do that stuff. You do digital stuff. I said, what do you mean digital stuff? This is 1999. Digital stuff? He said, yeah, the computer. I said, computer? I don't work no computer. I'm still riding a bicycle. You know, and I'm from the old school. And finally talked me into getting this equipment. And at that time in 2000, I got a Guggenheim, so I got some private support. And so I was able to buy some equipment. So I bought this equipment And I'm sitting in this in the house with all this equipment. And I said, I don't even know how to work this stuff. So I thought I had a friend who told me he was an expert in computer technology, which it turned out not to be true. All he could do is load a hard drive, I mean, put a hard drive in and load some software. And I thought that guy was happening. I said, you don't know how to program, man. You ain't no expert. So they running out. All the guys around me wanted to help me out, ran out when I asked them. I said, you got to program this stuff. You got to write programs. So I took the next year, 2 years, and I really woodshed it. I mean, from morning to night. So I learned this program called LabVIEW. And when I talked to people at LabVIEW, I mean, that's a really established company, you know, for scientists and engineers. And when I tell them what I'm doing, all they can say, that's fantastic. They still can't figure out. You know, you're using this for an entirely different kind of situation. So instead of going through the whole thing on what LabVIEW and all this is about, we want to do a little demonstration with Jenny is going to be the subject. But you can cool out for a second, Jenny. We're going to calm down because I don't want your heart like going, you know, all over. We're going to warm you up, you know. We want to get a real, real good heart sound, you know. And so okay, so before I talk about this, one thing I want to say is, so I don't know how many composers are in the room or whatever. So I'm learning how to be more responsible for how I talk right now. Because I don't want to turn off people who have went through conservatories, use notation and all that. I don't want to turn nobody off. All I want to do is try to inspire you to say, sometimes, you know, we got to step forward. You know, I think it's time on the planet now. We got to do some more new innovations, more creativity. You know, we have some horrible times right now, and I think we got these horrible times because something's going to happen. I don't see the negative. I think we're going through all this turmoil, but we're going to see some bright lights. We're going to be unbelievable things happening. So I used to say to myself, I said, wouldn't it be real neat? And I was doing a lot of work in herbology then. I said, wouldn't it be neat if a musician can really like capture the so-called vibration of a person as opposed to just doing chemical analysis. That's what I was doing in the lab, you know. There's a lot of chemistry involved, a lot of chemistry. I said, what about vibration? Which we know now is a lot about vibration. So I'm gonna interject sometime. I'm gonna interject something now, not to advertise them. But I'm so happy that Dr. Kamal Kokai is here. I don't know if you know, he's out in Brooklyn, he's a homeopath. And so he's a medical doctor, homeopath, acupuncturist, and I've known him years ago and years ago. And somehow my spirit said, call him. And so we've been reconnecting again, and he's been informing me what's happening. And it was great that Dr. Wong was over, you know what I mean? I'm meeting these different people, and I'm with my stuff, work I'm doing in Italy with Dr. Carlo Ventura of the University of Bologna's Hospital and Research Center. So I'm seeing that there are some really smart people out here right now. But the whole thing is about vibration and energy. So it's this whole connection now between the sciences and medicine and the arts. So how does the artist fit into this here? Well, I'm always telling musicians, you see, I said, do you realize a musician, you're vibrators. We deal with vibration. That's what the hell we deal with is vibration. And it's important to understand what this is about. So if we deal with that, I think we may need to reevaluate how we look at music. Why do we do music? What's the purpose of music? And I said to myself, okay, so you go to school, you can go to the conservatory, you can go to any these places, and you have this kind of regimen, you have this system that's set up. And it's telling you, do it this way, you do it that way, you play your modes, you play your scales, this is the right note, this is the wrong note, you gotta use a metronome, you gotta do all of this and all of that, and all of this is here. When you don't know, everything sounds great. But when you start finding out how we as humans function, you question that. So I used to go and have fun, and I would be around conservatory people, and then maybe the directors would look at me after like this here. When I say, throw the metronome out the window, they'd look at me. And the students, throw what, the metronome? I use a metronome. I said, well, I'll tell you what. And I had a talk with a cardiologist a few years ago who came to my house, and we was talking about heart rate variability, you know. And I said, it's interesting because now, you know, in cardiology, you know, you have to have an understanding of the heart rate variability. Because you can be, you know, you can get a heart examination and somebody can put a stethoscope on there as long as they hear ba boop, ba boop, ba boop, ba boop. Oh, you're fine. And then a few days later, bam, the guy's gone. A heart attack. Somebody said, well, he just had a heart examination. What happened? His heart was beating, ba boop, ba boop. But in a non-metronomic way, it should be. Not in a metronomic way. If every beat, the distance between every beat is like a clock. You understand? Like a clock. Because a lot of measurements I find as far as rhythm and stuff, that's for machines. That's not for the biological system. Biological system is different. When you're born in, a lot of way I say hear music to do today, and I'm very conscious of this here. Oh, you may feel mine, you may not die, but the body is going through some stress to say, whoa, wait a minute. You don't do it that way. That's not the right frequency. That's not the right rhythm. So it has to go through all these changes. This big thing here tells you something. Tells you a whole bunch. And it's not just here. It's connection here. It's connections up here, and it's a total thing. So now it's this whole brain-heart connection. People are starting to get more aware that it's just not this. This is more than a pump. It may seem like a pump. So this thing has been totally pushed aside. It's pushed aside so in such a horrible way that now it's all this visual imaging machines. Nobody wants to listen no more. Nobody listens. So what I'm saying is this. Everybody is a musician. We all got music. That's how we're vibrating. We're not aware of it. And there's a way we can find this out. So hopefully, in a very short period, we're going to demonstrate this. Too bad we couldn't get a whole bunch of people in here. But there's a time element to do this here, you know. So Jenny volunteered. So in brief, record the heart sound first. And I was going to do it in a whole real-time thing where the heart's going on and you can hear this conversion and melody going on. But it's a problem of feedback. There's too much stuff I have to do. Got to put big screens on and it's just too much. So we're going to record the heartbeat first. And then we're going to put it through the software program. Okay. So in the software program, don't ask me, where can I buy that software program? You can't. I've made the software program. And I'm not in the commercial thing of selling it right now. So that's the whole big thing, you know? But a few years ago, there was a person who reinforced my conviction to keep doing what I'm doing. And so, can we have some fun, William? Yeah. William talks about this here, you know what I mean? I asked William, do I have permission to say this here? So William, a few years, I mean, maybe 2 years or something like that before I had recorded his heart sound over the house. Then he came back to my house. And I said, William, you never heard your heart sound, huh? He said, no. So William's sitting there and I'm playing this thing back. Maybe William thought he was going to hear ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And what happened, William? You heard this melody, right?
Well, I heard my heart sound. And I said, oh, that's not my heart sound. That's me playing the bass. It sounded just like me playing the bass. It was fantastic.
So I said, William, you just made my day. I said, you thought that was your bass playing. I must be onto something. It's something I'm doing correct here. And I've heard people come over and they'll say, wow, that sounds better than the way I play. I say, because you're playing from the outside. You're playing, people are giving you instructions on what to do. You're not giving your own self instructions. So sometimes you just let it go. Just let it go. It's amazing. If you let yourself vibrate and trust yourself, if you can put your mouth to a horn and you just start blowing and just breathing, all that pranayama, all they take that pranayama, You know what I mean? They're going to teach you. And pranayama doesn't have no symmetrical number system of how you breathe. It's no 4, 8, 8, 16, or that doesn't work. You know, it's no numbers like those numbers are very variable. But if you just go through like a thing like, especially if you get tired, like, oh, wow, this is, just your, I want to, say the word, let it breathe out. And put your mouth to a horn and let it go. You'll be surprised what comes out. This is the real deal. And not someone coming telling you, well, you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way, and blah, 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 blah. The total creativity that can really come out of us is, it's not happening, you know? So what am I talking about? I'm saying that I want to help people to find out what they're about, who they are, and contribute to the problems that we have on the planet. Because I think we have some unbelievable people out here that can resolve some of our issues, and not the people who are over-credentialized, who think they're the experts, and they become a little small group of people. I think the people that can really do it is the people who don't even realize. They're walking around in the streets and doing every other thing here. We don't really realize that. You don't really know how you're vibrating. You got to find out how you're vibrating. And once you know how you're vibrating, and you self-stimulate yourself with the way your plan was made for you, you're going to be surprised how things are going to change. So, as musicians, that's what I try to do right now. I'm classified as a spontaneous improvised player. And some people are very nervous on that because they say, I don't know how to improvise. Because again, you've been too externalized. You haven't depended on yourself enough. You're dependent on everybody else on the outside to help you out. But we got to come back and we got to do this really, 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 really self-help kind of situation. They talked about in ancient times about how we can heal ourselves. But do we believe it? You can't go to a place and somebody tell you that and you be thinking that's what you're supposed to do. You have to know that you're supposed to do that. And I think music is so powerful. So powerful. And I see what kind of music we have today. You know, the music to me is like fat, sugar, and salt. It tastes good, but it may be dangerous. So we be popping and moving and all that. And maybe you may think it's happening, but that's that sugar, salt, sugar, and fat again. And when somebody tastes an herb, like to see it, blah, blah, blah. Ooh, that stuff is so nasty. Because it's loaded. It's loaded what we need. We've lost that. You know, we go back in the old days, people was eating that. Especially the grandmas and the grandmas and the great-great-great-great-grandmas, they was the really ones that would go out there and capture them herbs and make the stuff for you. We have lost that. We want everything so refined and sure we need sodium. We need glucose, so we need some fat. But not purified and go to the excess where there's no other ingredients. The harmonics is out of there. You know what I mean? We got to get more harmonics involved in that. And that's what is totally important. So after we do this here, we're going to do a little bit of music that maybe is based off this kind of way of thinking. But before we do that, we'll put Jenny over here. And you know something? This was a job. I'm just transporting this equipment here. I don't usually come out the house with this stuff. But Jenny, I gotta say, talk me almost this again. Let me see how we're gonna do this here. Okay. Hey, Chris, could you turn that artificial heart off up there? Okay, so you can lean forward, put your arms up. Okay. And let me put this strap high up on you. It's a brand new strap, too. You know what? This feels like a living room sitting. So Dr. Kakai and Dr. Wong was over my house about a week ago. And I wired up Dr. Wong, and I had some old funky straps. I was looking down home, and they jumped on my case. You ain't use those straps, are you? You need some new straps. Go online and order some. I said, man, I was going to order some, man. So I went and got me some new-looking, sophisticated ones now. That's good. All right, that's straight. Now, all I want you to sit back and relax. Okay. You just relax. And we don't talk. This is some deep meditation right now, like we could say. She's the object to meditate on. That's the sculpture piece right now. And I got to go over to this side here. And now we got to hope everything works. You know, electronics. When you got an audience, that's when it wants to get silly on you. All right. Let's see if this took all right. Just for demonstration purposes, get about 5 minutes. Usually I go longer. But the longer it is, the more you can hear more of a music conversion, you know. But 5 minutes is good for the day. So let's see. All right. All right. So this is one of the latest virtual instruments that I've made from this LabVIEW system. And it's basically got to use a lot of different algorithms. And it's, I don't do the same situation. Adore, you said something to me when you first said it was similar to like what was happening, I guess, then. I don't remember what you said.
I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, like Fourier analysis.
It was similar, but as usually I'm an oddball, whatever I do. Whether it's going to be a math or anything, I'm always this oddball. Where do you come up with those ideas from? I just ride with it, you know? And so I'm following some of the guidelines, but in a different kind of way of so-called artificial intelligence or neural networking, trying to, you know, find out how does a neuron work, you know, how does it really operate? And there's two different ways that you can approach that. You can approach it from doing outside techniques, going to the lab, you can isolate this, you can chop off this and go through the whole same ritual and blah, 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 blah. That's a standard way. But to me, that's like you're really not participating in the situation. So being involved in so-called ritual drumming over the years without having an intellectual understanding of what's going on, more like a feeling and observing what be taking place. And you learn how to feel this here. So you get this inside, you go with this feeling. And so, for example, if you look at the so-called veves that they do in voodoo or the dinkras, and you know, and West Africa. And what's the doctor's name down? He's in Maryland. He did the book on, he's a quantum physicist. And he tried to relate all of the Adinkras to what was happening in quantum physics and everything they're observing, you know, and different kind of nuclear reactions and so on, some atomic levels. And he said, well, they were doing this like in a so-called, African type of way. And I said, well, the approach was different. Instead of looking on the outside of nature, you know, instead of building an airplane, you know, I've always said it would be great if people who did the so-called ritual dance that you see in Africa, the real deal, who gets into that bird, I said, if they learn something about aeronautical engineering, And I said, it'd be great if the aeronautical engineer learned how to do the bird dance. Because if they got into the ritual, maybe they would come up with some, I always wanted to be an aeronautical engineer, so that's how I've been thinking like that. They'd build some new kind of designs. So I tried to take all the ritual experience I've had, then understanding, going to Kundalini, and Kundalini where I was doing radio pulse stoppage. I used to do the stoppage here, but that's too dangerous. I found that out. You can take yourself out like this here when you just start to shut the heart down. But the radio pulse, that's not a big deal to shut down the sea where you can feel it. I can rhythmize it through up and the so-called upper chakras. But like in the whole so-called, I don't know if you do Kundalini, but down in Muladhara where you're messing with the whole anal sphincter and the urethral sphincters and stuff like that. You can shut up and shut down. You can change your heart rate. You can speed it up and slow it down like this here. So that's an experience because you're really doing the so-called yin and yang thing when you do that. Some people, they talk about it, they go through this and go through that, but Kundalini is real deep, and that's been practiced a whole bunch, you see? So if you see some of the yogis who's gonna do some of those Triambanda techniques, and they may lock themselves up, you see, they be feeling the pulse like this here. They can make a closure where you don't feel the radio pulse. Somebody said, well, what's so great about that? Well, you imagine if you start the hemorrhage in there, you can't get a tourniquet. What? You lock it up, you shut it off. You stop it, no blood flow. So it does have a practical value for it, not just an intellectual value. So when you're cocking back like this here, you see, and you're shutting off the artery that's flowing down here, that's that internal tourniquet. You shut that off, you can cool this and stop this here, make it go faster, make it go slower. That's not as dangerous as shutting down from here where you get it all into the cerebral area. But that's cool too if you're having some kind of hemorrhage and stuff. You can shut down if nobody knows how to do it without the drugs. But somebody's got to be there monitoring you. So if you go out, they've got to know how to bring you back in. But in the Indian texts, they can over-intellectualize. So if the Westerners come in, they over-intellectualize it. Now, the Africans may be doing a similar kind of technique, but they're pretty cool because they work so-called yin and yang because they open-close, and move it. When they come like this here, they don't realize they're cutting the pulse down if they really pack up. It's open-close. You hear it set there, shut down and open-close. Instead of locking in, you know, well, you may go like, ah, see? And the African in the ritual, you may see their eyes open up real wide, you know what I mean? And when the information comes to you, you know, if you're not in an environment and you don't know what to do with it, it just stays there. But it's supposed to reach your consciousness. You go into a higher conscious state that you can really be able to see some light without taking any kind of hallucinogenic drugs or anything like that there. But a lot of these techniques have just totally been forgotten. So once I delved into the science and got really more involved, I said, this is pretty neat. So you can't be all Western, you can't be all Asian, you can't be all African, you can't be all North American, you got to be all of this stuff. Everybody got to shake hands, sit down to the table. We say, wow, you got something there, you got something. That's what I'm missing. Oh, and blah, 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 blah. And it's another little short story. When I was working as a technician, I was in school, and I got the job to work in the laboratory because the two teachers left. And I knew so much about the laboratory, they exempt me from all the finals. So my last two months of school, I was paid. I didn't have to take no tests because I had to prepare all the tests. I was in the laboratory preparing all the tests. And so one night, one of the guys who ran the supply company, he was there, he came. And the teacher there, one of the top teachers, they're in the lab. And they said, wow, well, this test, it only comes in a measuring system that deals with units. And he says, how could we change this measurement system into another measurement system? We want to change it from units into milligrams. And I'm sitting there watching these two guys with all these brains talking, and they writing all these equations down. Well, I don't know, this is complicated. We can't figure this out. And then they didn't figure it out. And when they left, the chemistry was a titration process, you know? You know? So we had to titrate this here and this here and do this buffering, all this kind of system here. And you know what I did? I write the formulas and said, one drop, three drops, four drops. I simplified that thing down and said, oh, I know how to do it now. And I came back the next day, the teacher said, how did you figure that out? I said, I just did some drops. I count the number of drops and watch the color change. What's all this? You don't have to write all them fancy equations out. There's a simple way to do it. So we taught all these very complex types of things. Now, before we go into the analytical process on this, okay, so we have a heart sound that's supposed to represent the heart sound. That's the sound we hear, you know. And in Hindu philosophy and music, they talk about our Sanskrit master over here, anahata and ahata sound. So it's the sound that you hear and the sound that you don't hear. And it's the sound of the so-called heavens, you see. So when you see a waveform, like let's go on the small screen now, you'll see a little bit on here. When you see in the hospital and you watch the monitor, they say like boop, 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 and there's a flat line. And you went up top of the mountain, then you came down to the flat ground. Then boop. But Pro Tools is pretty good. I like Pro Tools for recording my heart sounds. Okay? So this is an electronic stethoscope that I had calibrated special to go down to 5 hertz. So they said, 5 hertz, we don't hear that. I said, I want the waveform. Because you use those regular stethoscopes, they're not picking up those low frequencies. And the low frequencies, if you look on the monitor when I got here, you see that heart going on. It doesn't go like doop, doop. It's like, boop, and it wobbles. Well, all between that so-called open and closing of the vowels, bop, boop, there's motion going on. Any place there's motion, there's sound. We just don't hear it. So we have the tools amplify the sound in there. And in a lot of the drum techniques, the people who know how to do it, so if they're playing on the drum, bop, gunk, bop, gunk, bop, gunk, bop, gunk, and this hand is just wandering all over. Bop, gunk, bop, gunk. Bakunk, 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 bakunk. So when you see me play, I will have one thing going like blah 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 blah. And the other man me, and the other man me going, and that's the contrast of what goes on in the body. It's called so-called yin and yang, sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system. One system is rolling, it's up there, it's all charged up. The other system's cooling down. So if you're a martial artist, the other one's, and the other one is, so you got karate and tai chi and aikido happening in your body at the same time. Ain't it all karate, ain't all tai chi, ain't all aikido, ain't all capoeira, ain't all mixed martial artists. They got the contrast going on. It's not da 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 da. You can go da 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 da. One hand technique. Da 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 da. Y'all get the difference. You go, tabla talk. You go any of those kind of ways you want, but you mix it in. And the other hand, it's got to be cooling. It's got to be smoothing out. It's just got to be vibrating like you see it. You know, always, one hand's down, 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 down. It's all in that waveform, in the heart. So if you got a system that we can record the lower frequencies, you see high, big mountain. Then you see the little mountains come up there. Another high, big mountain. Another one come up like this here. That's your terrain. And when you hear, when you amplify that, okay? So if you use proteins, you know, you're normalizing. If you got a Pro Tools 10 or whatever else, you got those handles. It was one of the greatest things I've seen they made in Pro Tools, those handles in a waveform. Because while the waveform is playing, you can divide it and increase those things while it's playing back and forth. And you can change it up. And by doing that, you can create every rhythm that we have heard. You understand? From waltzes to sambas, from calypsos, you name it. They're all there. They're all there. At this moment, you may go bakdoom. You may go bakdoom, bakdoom, bakdoom. And the next moment, bakdoom, 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 bakdoom. And it'd be changing like that. So it's not really bagun, bagun, bagun. It's almost like that Nigerian bata. Because if you increase all of the in-betweens motion that's happening between the opening and closing of a valve. It's going to sound like them. But the problem is that most people I know that's going to traditional drumming, they don't know nothing about cardiology. The cardiologists don't know nothing about the drumming. So, but if you shake hands, it's all there. I'm just trying to figure out, it's unbelievable that all this time, people haven't picked that up. But it's real. Because if I go back into all the ritual stuff, the real stuff, when I heard that record and heard this, I said, unbelievable. I said, the people are playing it. We're playing all that stuff and don't not even wear it. Because nobody ever put on a stethoscope that wasn't in the clinical setting to hear all these arrhythmias. I said, but they're playing all these doggone arrhythmias and so-called batas, supposed to be so deep and heavy. They're damn arrhythmias. But they're good arrhythmias. Because if you coming down, if I tell you to go down Lexington Avenue on a busy day, or on Park Avenue, saying, and I said, you know, like some people, they want to cross the street, and the traffic coming both ways, and they'll get there, and they'll walk through the middle line all the way like this here. They walk in that middle section, and they'll just be walking. All of a sudden, then they'll see people today. They just be la 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 la. You're driving, you know, and like all of a sudden after they'll start to make a turn in front of you. See, don't the person realize they're in heavy traffic? So if you're walking down the street and a big Mack truck is coming, or some of these motorcycle people are coming, you know, you see that vehicle coming, you can't be like ba doop ba doop ba doop ba doop. So if you see that vehicle coming here and wants to cut across the lane, ba boop, ba goong goong ging, ba goong 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 ging. So arrhythmia is responding to some kind of change that's going on in your body. As long as it's not metronomic. A metronomic arrhythmia I found is dangerous. When you can predict where that arrhythmia is going to happen. Most of us have those things. We don't just listen to ourselves all day. But into the traditional, in the tradition, they have found out over time how to mix this rhythm with that rhythm, or this arrhythmia with that arrhythmia, to make a recovery. And that's the importance of people who've been doing this for a long time in those traditions. So that's what I try to do today, is go back into the history and put all the stuff together. So on the sculpture piece up there, I'm thinking all over. I'm not leaving nothing out. The whole bit, see, I'm trying to incorporate how people think from ancient times and to modern times, and how are we going to put this thing together? Okay. All right, so what we're going to do now is I got to turn this guy on, get this guy flowing, and let's see what we got here. I'm just going to let this guy run. All right, let's get some action up here now. I think I got everything right. Oh, I need this one. At least you see your waveform.
Yes, that's you.
Wow. Let your heartbeat go up for just a little bit. Okay, so what we're going to do now, see what we got to do. Look up here, analyzing heart sounds for conversion to TRS, tonal rhythmology music. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not using no tricks here. I'm not putting no notes in. I'm not doing none of that kind of stuff. This is a totally different process. I'm talking about neural networking. And it wasn't for my background, working in biology, you know, doing all kind of just physiological work and understanding how things work. Now, sometimes you'll see, like, the volume will go up and volume will go down. And I'm still working on this here, the so-called, chronobiology, and, like, different times of the day. That your whole metabolism is going to change and so on and so on. So I have a friend of mine up in Boston who is going to be here in November. He's up at a Boston Children's in Harvard Med, and he was a student of mine when he was in med school 30 years ago. So we still keep in great contact, but he has a lot of faith in me, and so I have a lot of respect for what he says. And I was telling him about some theories I had about how do you deal with time. And I said, I was thinking about, you know, fractals. And I said, okay, so on average, it would take us about 9 months to get on the planet. And then I really got drove myself into embryology and the whole, you know, timeline when different organs of the body, you know, start to manifest and so on, so on, so on, like that. So I got into that real deep. So what I did, I said, okay, so we potentially still have, just because a female, during the time, you know, when they don't have that ability to bear children, that energy for me has not disappeared. That energy is went someplace else in your body. It's about how do you utilize that, and where's it at? You know what I mean? And nature said, look, you're not going to be at 60, 70 years old, you know, making children. You're going to drain yourself. But we want to take that energy. And this is my whole take on it. This is my whole take. I've been preaching for the longest. I think there is, like in these hidden waveforms, I think there's some hidden energy in females that has still we haven't seen on the planet yet. We still haven't seen, because that has not been equal in a sense. We're paying all that is one thing, but I'm talking about here. That whole thing of yin and yang was, I see, especially in Chinese myth, a lot of people contradict themselves. You know what I mean? They talk about the balance of yin and yang, but when it comes to human rights, women's rights, they don't do it. So I'm saying, I'm always saying, is the women is going to step up and going to balance that out. So that whole energy has not disappeared. That energy is like locked in. So I think they're going to find stuff when they're dealing with a submolecular level right now. They're talking about nanotubes. They got machines that maybe they can observe that now. But they don't have machines that can go way past nano. Going into Yato measurements and all that. That's real small. We don't even know that stuff exists. That's why I think that energy is hidden. I think a lot of problems with cancer and all these problems is locked in there. So now if you're going to cause vibration to cause tubes to expand and all this, you know what I mean? I mean, it's amazing because this stuff has been talked a lot in old tradition, a lot of old folklore tradition that's just been thrown past. They forgot all about this here. The machine comes in and we don't go deep down inside to be able to see that again. So that stuff is deep in us. So, again, I'm not using no tricks because some people say, well, how do you get the rhythm like that? How do you figure the rhythm? Well, I said, I don't think you know how to read waveforms. See, the one thing I figured out even little bebop music, bebop. And one of the things people used to say about in the 60s when he was playing free jazz, they're playing so fast, there's no melody. I said, you're crazy. So if I take, that's relaxed. Anybody here practiced, you know, the concept of Nichiren Shoshu movement, I think it is, Nammyo Horenge Kyo? Okay, well, I was a member here in the 60s. You know, I would go to the Kaikan and I would chant and do all of this stuff. And then in 1977, I was touring Japan, and so it was great because the people who brought me over, they was really into the culture. There wasn't no jazz promoters. So they suggested that I stay in this temple with another Japanese student of mine at the time. And in Kyoto, they said, we want you to experience this temple. It's a beautiful temple. So 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm hearing this chanting. So the next day, my friend Toshi Tsutsutori said, he said, they chant Nammyo Horenge Kyo. I said, Toshi, I said, it sounds familiar, but I couldn't figure it out. Nammyo Horenge Kyo Nami. I don't know what the heck. Sounds like a top 10 tune they're trying to do here. You know? Nammyo Horenge Kyo Nami. Nammyo Horenge Kyo Nami. They bring that down and they compress it. It's not the word. Everybody look at these words, these magic words. It's not the words. The same way you pronounce the word, the simple, this is about phonetics, is that when you compress them, what you do is get a vibration. They're looking for the vibration. You're vibrating your body. Nami holding it. It could be. So you can go back. I know I was brought up in a Baptist church, and it was always by the older women be sitting around. They would hum it. Not the old man river. You vibrate that way. So if you're in Tibet and all that there, they're looking for what words do you use? I was in Japan one time. And I was up there, I don't know what the hell I was doing, but Mintanako, large Japanese crowd, so they came over and said, the older people like you. They said you understood, they understood what you were saying. I said, I don't know what the hell I was saying. I don't know how they understood it. But I was always fascinated by being around Japanese. And I'd say that, there was something about the way they was talking that was just turning me on. Not to Tokyo, not to Osaka. I mean, I was out in the farmland. I said, this is some deep stuff. The way they were talking, I said, wow, that's just vibrating. And I was in Nigeria, and I seen these old people talking Yoruba. I thought it was a singing group. They sounded like they was doing doo-wop. I said, no, they're talking Yoruba, but that's the way you talk. I was hanging out with Olatunji at the time, Baba Olatunji. And Baba Olatunji, he forgot some of the words. He hadn't been in Nigeria so long. But it was like, I don't know. But anyway, we're going to vibrate a little bit right now. All right, so we got the demo here, all right? And but that's your thing.
That's amazing.
That's your thing. And we have similar, you know, we have the melodies. What's so beautiful about it, now we can go in there and we can, you know, we can toss and say, well, how do you think? What do you like to see? Blah, blah, blah. We can say, oh, yeah. Well, let's tweak it up a little bit. By the way, so you can really hear the kind of melodic content, that I made 6 times slower. The real one, that thing is flimsy. That thing is going so. That's how it's moving. But you can slow it up, and you can slow it up, and you can slow it up, and you can slow it up, you can slow it up. Okay. Yes?
If it's not too much trouble, is it possible to hear it at the actual speed really quickly, or no?
Oh, yeah, I can run it back. No. Yeah, we'll run it back. I'll tweak it back here. Yeah, it will take that off.
Yeah. I can do it.
You can do it? Okay. Watch this telescope, it's going to drop on you there. Okay? Is that still moving there? Yeah, it's still moving. We can catch it at any point. And the only way you're going to hear the exact kind of melody is because it's going to start reading. It's very hard to get it to read back at the 0 point again.
Right.
You know? But it will pick up from, if it's like 2 seconds from the beginning, 3 seconds from the beginning, and then it's going to calculate according to the way the waveform is going to be measured, because you see here where it's sectionalized, and I'm getting different sections. So I want to know, what does this section sound like? What does that section sound like? You know, that's when you build basic acoustics, how you be able to generate a sound. So, all right, so all we got to do is go down here and over here. So when I say 6 times the peak difference, let's bring it down to 1. The 1. All right? So. Here, you can see all that action's going up in here. It's got Badu, but all that action's a lot of stuff going on. That's what we want to bring out. That means you got a lot of activity going on in your body, which you don't have to do that, Jenny. You see Jenny roaming around here. You see Jenny roaming around here. You know she got a lot of stuff. She may be quiet, but she can explode, you know. Don't let Jenny kid you. Repeat you now. You got a lot of stuff hitting energy in there. There's a little bounce here, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to find out that I have a heart
That's the original. That's the original on her. Thank you. That's it. That's, I'm, okay? All right. So. All right. So that's the basic story. So so just to sum it up, I feel that instead of, you know, like, I feel as though that it may be too premature, but I'm going to keep pushing, is that I think in conservatories and how we learn music is because, you know, why do we play music and what's the purpose? And, you know, when you have an audience, you're playing for the people. You're playing for the people. And I feel as though musicians should understand, you know, how we vibrate. If we want to construct, we'll put music together, how do we vibrate? And our music should come when people come, like you go to a restaurant. Hey, you don't come there. You want to eat. You want to be nourished. It should taste good, and it should have the necessary ingredients. So if you're a musician, you know, we're not feeding food for chemistry. We're feeding sound for vibration, so they complement each other. So how are you going to feed people to correct nutrients if you don't understand how we vibrate? So we need to learn how we vibrate as humans. And then I think if we're going to write music, compose, we'll have a better understanding of how it's done. So over the first few years, I've heard hundreds of heartbeats, hundreds of rhythms. And so that's my teacher right now. I listen inside. And so I try to go inside and understand the basic principles, not just me personally, but what is the basic principles? And you know, there's always a sliding scale. You know, if you ever got a blood test done, anything like that, you always have a sliding scale. You got your high normal and your low normal. As long as you fit within that range. So when we play music, so don't tell me that if we're playing in the band and I don't hit that exact pitch that's like equal temperament, that you're out of tune. That's insane to me. It's a range. It's a range of how we play. Okay? So, and we have to utilize that. Okay, so, I'm going to start off the drum call. And then, Shazad Ismaili and William Parker is going to join. And then we're going to get very, you know, vibrational. All right? So we can take a deep breath. Yeah, so we can, this here can always slide over. Yeah, we can get this guy over here just a little bit, tuck it in there deeper. Make sure that doesn't.